Okay, I'd like to bring the meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. Due to my fault, it's about 5 minutes late, but can I get a roll, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Fantastic, thank you, Carol. It's time for public comments. I don't see any public here. If you're here, raise your hand or forever hold your peace. I don't see any public, so we will end public comment. Draft minutes.
Move approval of the draft minutes, February 18th, 15th.
Second.
And it's moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Done. Presentations, water and wastewater updates. Who wants to start?
I got one.
Virgil wants to start.
Are you not?
Well, that's number
Mike
one.
Wants to start.
But before that, on the presentations, this is just going to be a standing item that on the agenda. So if things are occurring at the last minute, that we can just bring you up to date and it's agendized. And if maybe Gregory can give you a quick little what's happening with the filter at the wastewater center.
Right. So Parks has come out twice now to assist on the filter, made some adjustments on that filtration process. It's working within specification limits. We'd like to see it work a little bit better. But they are coordinating with us on that, and we're just finished cleaning up the filter for their request last week. And basically, we're monitoring it and working with Parks to go forward.
So do you think they'll be able to get any incremental improvement out of it?
Well, it's running pretty close. It's running within spec now. We'd like to see it better. I think we can get a little bit, but we're trying different operating ways to run the filter with Parkson for their directions and just seeing what happens.
Going in here, going
yeah,
out
go in here, go out here, go on eco wash and no eco wash. So we're trying different ways that you can run it, and we're coordinating that with Parks.
All right.
Yeah.
So is that? How about with the other issue with regards to?
One of the operational changes we've made is to not direct the filter reject to the ponds. We take it straight back to the oxidation ditch, and so that it doesn't have the opportunity to pick up algae when it comes back. So I think that'll be the biggest change to help. Or as soon as we stop doing it, eventually they cleared out. We got back in spec. There's been some question about did we kind of get it kind of fouled up, and so we're cleaning the filter now and doing some other things, and we'll see how it goes.
When do we have to spend the balance of the money on the filtration project?
Within 3 years.
Within 3 years. Okay.
Say again?
Within 3 years.
We have
retention, right? Is that what you're talking about? Retention?
No, we've closed that project out, but on the bond, we still have some remainder monies.
If we got to spend on something relevant, right?
You got to spend it all out, all down, within 3 years.
It's considered restricted fund, right?
Well, it is, but I'm thinking that the things that we're doing with this plant, we know we can spend the money on repairing the asphalt around those grounds need to be done. And that's kind of where we were targeting that money. But that would be secondary to anything we would have to do that may come up that needs to be done to make the filtration plant more efficient or get rid of the algae. So I'm asking her how long we have, because we may find that the algae creates a problem for us in a different way. We don't know yet, right?
We hold it reserved till we
exactly
run up against the date.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. You have anything else,
Rick? Not on baseball.
Sam.
Okay. You can go.
Virgil.
That's the thing. What you're seeing there is all 411 water districts in the state of California have to put in monthly what our much water do we take out of the ground or out of the river. Sorry, I didn't have enough. We pumped out of the river. And this is a listing by the first page where I have the word best. This is as of the end of January. Shows this is the best water district so far that has percentage of savings for the month as well as accumulation. You go to the second page, Discovery Bay is in there, second page. And then further down, I wrote down the city of Brentwood there on page 10 and 11, Diablo Water, and they've got a minus, so they haven't been saving very much, where the residents of this community have been conserving water. pretty well. So for January, we were at 22.6% reduction compared to 2013. So we're doing very well. We have been doing very well all of 2017 and so forth and so forth.
So, and then that 30.6 is
cumulative
2015?
Cumulative. Since 2015.
That's pretty substantial.
Why do they show us taking water out of the San Joaquin River?
That's where we're in this, what we call a San Joaquin Basin. Doesn't matter, groundwater or surface water.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all. Just all I wanted to do, share that with you.
That is interesting, though, Bill, because it throws us into other cities that are taking it directly out of the water, and we're not. I'm looking at Merced and Calaveras County. I don't know. It's just, I guess, the district, right? Well, that's very good. Thank you, Virgo. I appreciate that information. I'm glad to see that all the efforts that everybody in the town is making to keep our, you know, keep everybody aware that we're still in the drought, and I think is working. We need to continue to maintain that attitude. Next.
Next is, we'll go to discussion items, if that's okay.
Okay, so we'll go to discussion items. Item one, update on San Jose Isles, Doc.
I'll turn this over to Virg.
Ah, all right. Did you give them a report?
I gave them the staff report, correct.
Okay. I think I made them five. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe Justin probably keeps getting in the water or something. Anyway, on this map here, shows you the layout of the ground. This is, whenever we water and sewer, we have what we call a track map. And this track map, this subdivision on 5523, there are a few maps associated with this subdivision, but this is the latest one, dated back to 6/16/79. So this is when the latest one we have. The blue lines or the dark lines I show coming into that show the water services coming into that development.
Yeah, they're not highlighted on here.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
If they have a dark line, the bottom part of that page looks like there's four little segments coming in. They're darker than normal. Yeah.
I'm talking about right here.
Right.
Talking about right here. This is our area right here.
Okay.
Talking with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, this map shows where we have water meters going in, the points of entry from our water mains outside of the boundaries coming into this. And there are, everything on the map here is correct, with the exception of one. And that's the, if you're looking at the bottom of the map, coming over from your left, coming over to the right,
yeah.
You see there's one dark line coming in, okay? Right?
Okay.
That there says it's supposed to be a water meter there. There is a fire hydrant there, which is correct, but there is no service line coming into that. We have dug that up. The water main is 5.5 feet deep. We went 6 feet deep, dug in, and went trenched a good 100 feet into soft landscape areas. We have not found a water line servicing those three buildings right there, just a little up on the map there that says 40, 40, and 40. Those are 10.
So what's the dark round dot?
That is the fire hydrant.
Okay, and each line going up indicates where a meter should be?
The one line heading up and going across all three of those little buildings.
I see just a stub line.
I should have highlighted it.
Yeah, I just see a stub line going up.
Yeah.
Off the main line here.
Well, there should be a line. There's a pencil line, or not pencil line.
This little stub line here.
Here.
Okay.
And then here.
So where's the meter supposed to be located?
Right here.
Okay. What is this right here?
That's a meter for irrigation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, good. Okay.
So that's the only spot where there is no meter or backflow device per this map. We checked that, we dug that up quite a bit.
Did you found where the pipe goes into the main?
No.
That's what our issue.
Oh.
The cross connect.
So we don't know where that pipe comes into that main.
That's correct.
Yeah, and
well, we know that when we shut off the two valves, one on Sandpoint Road and one right past this building, I mean, right in the middle of the building where that
right.
red dot is.
Right.
We know when we shut those two valves off, those buildings have no water.
So it has to be between
those two.
The middle of the block and the end of the block.
That's correct. And we dug at both ends of that, the end of those two valves, we dug down, went everything in. Landscape area that we consider it. We dug all the way through the whole landscape.
Were you following the pipe as you went?
That's correct. Now,
if you shut off one valve, do they still get water?
Yes.
And if you open it and shut the other, do they still get water?
That's correct.
Because they'll backfill.
Yeah, this is
it's a loop,
right?
Yeah. What you haven't found is the line feeding those buildings, and that's our dilemma. I've never had one like that before.
And it's costing us a fortune because we've dug where they said
it's
it
not
is.
Funny, but it's funny.
We've dug where we think they may have buried it, and it's not there.
So essentially,
or you wait until there's a leak someday.
You have 55 feet of 3-inch PVC that's causing a big headache because you don't know where it is.
That's
we even brought a PVC detectionist out here.
It is not
there. They paid him and said it's here, we think, but no guarantees, and he was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's.
So these buildings aren't metered. At this point, we're not charging them for these three buildings then.
Yeah, but
correct.
Aside of that, they have two major leaks going on today.
Right.
They can't fix because they're in where we have meters already today. One's 500, one's 700 gallons an hour. Leaking.
Going to the lakes?
In those homes, huh?
Are they going to the lakes or where's it going?
I believe one home's got a leak underneath it and nobody's responded to it. But that's their concern. But we can't isolate it.
All private property. We're all on the private side. In fact, where we think we may have to trench is on their private property to try to find that cross.
Where did we stop owning the pipe?
Per this 1983 February was signed by the County Board of Supervisors saying the water and sewer facilities in this subdivision, which are on private property, shall be operated and maintained by the owners of the subdivision and not County Sanitation District 19.
All right, I read that. To me, that indicates that once you get out into the street, then it's ours.
That's correct.
So we still have to
this would be ours. This main is ours.
We still have to find the line because we've got to be able to put a valve in then.
We've got to put a water meter in so we know how much water that 10 units are using. Correct.
So it's still our problem.
Because we can't just shut it off because it's
irrigation off of those lines.
Right. Have you thought about taking how big are these cameras?
How big is
the camera? One of the options you're showing.
Like a camera is a video camera that would generally 2 to 3 inches. This is a 6-inch pipe, so that's what we
would
need.
My thought is that, the plumbers, Roto River County guys, they've got cameras that go down there.
Yeah.
If we go the opposite direction, go over to where the water is coming up into the building, open that up.
No,
and
you
go
can't.
Backwards.
Only because they have 90-degree elbows using PVC. Can't get past that elbow.
We believe that there is that this cross, when we find this cross, it'll go to another line going this way, and
you're
then that line will feed to the direct houses. So if you try to do it for the houses, they're just going to find this line, and it won't bend to come back. Or in other words, if it comes down this way, how's it going to come over and then down that way?
And if we could find this one to go in it, then we'd know the problems because it'd be connected to it.
Well, right, if we came down this way, we'd go just till we saw a break. And as soon as we saw the break, we would know that that's where the T is.
But here's the other thing is that
it can't turn up that T.
There's a couple,
it can't turn down
there's
that
a couple of issues with using the Roto-Rooter type camera, and that is it's been in sewer pipes before.
Well, you get a new one.
No, we don't have a new one. I mean, the companies, what you'd have to do is sanitize it.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, that's.
But then you really have to make sure it was sanitized and that when we did find it, let's say, we would have to flush that line through our fire hydrant system and to make sure we did our darnest to remove anything.
Don't they make water specific cameras?
Yeah, there's services that
there
you
is.
Can hire. We would hire a service.
Yeah,
a water only
company that does.
Yeah, yeah, water only. Or,
you guys have the sound device, right, for listening to.
Yeah, but it's not. It depends on how deep and
yeah.
Clay. It's clay.
Oh.
And
oh,
we don't know.
Soils and stuff.
We don't know. This doesn't tell us how deep stuff is.
Right.
Until
right.
You open trench.
Right. I mean, I assume that when you do that, then you flush
well,
the pipes, so there's a lot of water flow.
The main line is 5 feet deep. It's not going to be any deeper than that.
No, that's we don't believe it should be.
Right.
We don't think they should go down and come back up.
Right.
Here's the backflow.
There's no backflow.
They're not there.
If you
somewhere by the hydrant that you guys excavated that.
We already did. Wait a minute.
Hold on one second. Even if it can't make the 90, I think that if you went that way and ran to wherever far you could go, that's going to tell you there's another line there. At that particular point, you can dig down in the landscape and find where that 90 is. You can cut that line and then go until you find the next 90.
We have to, following your process there, if I took this guy, we had a leak there years ago, and we had to spend some time in the middle of the night digging up, finding the line, and this one last house or unit, we put in a meter box there, prepping for water meters. And so if we were to start there, we would hit either a 45 or a T and would stop. Most of this is in the road and asphalt, so now I'd have to saw cut, dig that up. Not knowing how deep it is, we believe it should be about 2.5 to 3 feet deep, we believe, but we're not sure. But then that still doesn't tell us where did we start at, because you want to put the meter as close as you can to your main.
Correct.
But I don't have an easement in there.
So let me this is back up here. One of your proposals is to go in here at the south end. In this middle section here, right in here somewhere? Okay, I'm looking at, again, this map's not well marked. I'm looking at three stubs going out.
Yeah.
Each one has a one by it, so it's hard to identify one different than the other, but...
The first one to your left is the one that we...
Can't find.
And the one that just represents 1 meter.
So okay, so the other one that's between the two houses that goes up, that's an existing meter.
They never had meters. They put meters on.
It will be an existing meter, or we put a meter on it.
We did already.
Okay. And
that's irrigation
and
only.
That's irrigation only.
That's
okay. But still, we know where that pipe is, and we know where the other side of that T is. That's where you're proposing to go.
We know where the pipe is. That pipe only runs for irrigation, and if we could not find, maybe I misunderstood your question.
Okay, let's go back a bit. Because I'm not understanding this map. I've seen a dark gray line on my map that goes down and is connected to 3 meters.
Can you come over and help me, please?
I see a dark gray line here. What is this? Isn't this the main?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got this is coming off with a meter on it. We put a meter on it.
Yep.
It feeds these homes.
Yep.
Okay. Got one here. It only feeds irrigation.
That's correct.
But it still comes off the same main.
Come off the main right here. This dark line is the main.
Right. So it
feeds off of that.
Off of the main, and there's a meter there to determine how much water they use for landscaping. And then the main continues on. We found the main.
Yeah, we know
it's somewhere in here is where you're talking about going in.
No, we're thick between here and here. We don't know where this comes.
I get that, but your point of proposals is to go in and cut that main.
Yeah,
and put
cut it in right here.
Oh, down there. Okay.
Down here. Probably down here. And then come this way. Because we haven't trenched in this area right here.
You have not, or have
we have not. We can't. That's it's asphalt right between this line here and here. It's all asphalt. So this is where you would saw cut and trench.
If we were to do the saw cut, we'd saw cut a strip right down here until we.
This main right now that's there. It's underneath their fence.
That's south.
Yeah, that's south.
So when you're saying the south existing water valve, which one are you talking about?
The first one. That's
north.
No. This is north this way.
Am I completely turned around here?
This is Sandpoint, and this is River
Lake. Oh, shoot, I'm completely turned around. This is River Lake. Okay, I'm with you. This is River Lake here. Okay, I'm with you. So this is behind the shopping center. Testing. Okay, police station's right here. Okay.
No.
The substation, or like Hoffman's place, is over here. This is the shopping center, right?
Shopping center is a little further back here. Shopping center ends right about here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
This is the continuation of
that lake. Well, this is over here, but this is all behind the shopping center or in that dirt lot.
That dirt lot.
Yeah, the dirt lot. Dirt lot. Okay. We're actually in the dirt lot section of where this issue
I'm sorry, I was turned around. My fault. I should have looked at the curb road. My bad. Okay, I'm with you. I'm copying. Right. So you want to open up here and run the meter till you find the T.
Not run the meter. I mean, open trench until I found the T.
Either trench it till we find a T, or we open the pipe up and run a camera till we see a T. Essentially.
Is this all in dirt, or is this an outfall? What do you mean?
The main is in dirt,
but it's under a fence.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you take it and cut it
directly under a fence?
About halfway down. You cut the hole halfway down, and you camera one way, pull it back, turn around, camera the other way.
Yeah, you could do that.
That way you don't have to do it here, go all the way down.
Yeah, but it's only 300 feet. It's easier just to make the one cut and go down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Take one cut in the middle and go left and right.
Yeah, but it's easier for the camera guy just to start going one rather than pull back and start back.
How much, if this fence is causing us a problem, that's not our problem. That's an easement. If we have to take that fence down, they need to take that fence down to give us access to that pipe.
You know, put the fence back up.
We do or they do?
We do.
Why? You didn't put the grass back in my lawn when you pulled up my pipe at my place.
Yeah, we did.
No, you
should have.
No, I had Felipe. You told me you weren't going to do it. I had Felipe come in and put new sod in. You know that
if we took sod or plants out, we would put in. We won't put it over the meter box, but we will take them out. In your case, the bushes were over the meter box.
Okay, let's talk about that later. I paid a landscaper to put new sod in.
I thought if someone built a structure in your easement, you had to access
I thought so too.
It was on them.
No, we don't. Well, like today.
I mean, I think you did it as a courtesy, but I don't think that's what the law says.
I don't believe.
Well, here you dig up the street, you put a pipe in, and replace it. I have to replace it.
That's public domain. But if I build my house over your main, like for instance, out here at the church, when we gave you the right of way to put the pipe to go back to the tanks, we gave you an easement there. If we build over that easement, we've got to take down whatever we built to give you access to it, because we have a contract with you that says that's an easement.
Okay, so what I believe we had one other issue though, besides the fence, because we were able to dig down some of that line, but I think there was some stability issues with the dirt that actually stopped us
starting to shift. The ground and the fence on it, because of the post, was starting to shift.
All right, so the fence may not be an easement, but maybe on the edge of the easement, and the ground is being.
It's over the main.
Oh, the fence. Okay.
My main, I had to dig down 5.5 feet deep, and so the fence started to shift into our.
But there shouldn't be a fence on your main line. There should not be a fence over here.
Well, I don't know. It's there.
It's there.
If you need to access your main line, the fence is coming down. Like if you had to replace that line,
they'd have to take that fence out.
Right.
You could build it.
Well, we take it down. And
I'm curious.
We would wait for them.
Put it back up because they're not supposed to build up structure on top of your pipe.
Well, then that'd be another issue between the Hoffman Company and that HOA to deal with.
Well, that's true. It's not like it's still a headache.
I'm trying to avoid us paying.
I'm curious on this one. Is this a blow off that's at the end of the day? You don't think it's going to be too sweet. It's a 1-inch blow off.
Well, here's the risk. The risk is if we pulled the fence down and the line wasn't directly under the fence, then we'd be responsible for the fence.
I agree. Look on the map here. It looks like there's.
I don't know.
It'd be
somewhere. Anybody verify that it goes down the line of the fence?
This area right here where the runoff is.
It's got to be a straight line, so we know where this is.
It's on the map. It is on the map, and that appears to be the only one. Appears to be the only one thing that's correct.
What's that?
It's where the main is. Because it's. It appears to be correct. The question becomes where we can't find the T. We would have to trench all the way down that line to find the T.
Once you find it, then you've got to cut it now and then start to put your meter in and the meter box.
Whatever.
Okay.
The question is, this is relatively a straight line. Main line is a straight line. So we've cited that from this point to this point, and the fence appears to be right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's preventing us from trenching the rest
right,
of the way.
Right next to the fence, right.
Well, and it's how long? 300 feet long?
Right now, the part that we haven't done is probably 120 feet.
Take the fence down and finish.
Then we don't put it up, or do we put it up?
Put the fence up. We're talking another $7,000 to do it a different way. The fence, there's the panels in the fence.
It's wrought iron and fillers, or posts, rather.
Oh. The wrought iron, put it right back. The posts, are those posts of what? Are they brick columns?
No, it's...
They're wood posts. They're wood posts.
I get your point. What we're saying here is we could tear that down and put it up cheaper.
Just take the fence down. Go down, find it, put the fence back up. 120 feet from here to the fence out there, done, over, finished. Just use the same path, put the same material back
that's
up.
That's the reason I held up when I brought him out.
Well,
I said,
no, but your point's well taken, because if it's steel and if it's sectioned, then you just all we're gonna do is put in all new post holes, all new posts for those guys, and throw it up there, and they can paint, do whatever they want to, because we're not doing that. But we'll put those panels back up between the posts after we've compacted the dirt back down and put them in concrete and put the fence back together. Especially if they're in sections, because they're gonna be in 8-foot sections or 10-foot sections.
Right? Quick question: would you really rebuild a fence back on top of your own pipeline?
No, you'd have
you
to
would
move
normally
it
notify the owner.
Right. But I can't move the fence. I can't, because that designates a property line, and I can't relocate that right now. I mean,
okay, who's? If you take the fence and move it into their property,
2 feet.
You take a little step. You do this.
You'd have to go out and look at it. It's a little more complicated than that, because they have a short area of landscape,
maybe about a foot,
and then their asphalt
ends. Oh, they've only got like this much in the. It's right now where Chris used to live, right?
Huh?
Chris used to live right there. Yeah.
I'd be happy to go over there and look at it.
Yeah,
so I can get up to speed. But to me, it sounds.
Well,
like
we'll after the meeting, so look over there too, and see if we have
done with it. And just move the fence to one side or the other.
Never thought about the idea of taking all the panels down and removing the posts and putting.
Well,
back.
Let me ask you this: Hoffman owns the land on the other side, right?
He doesn't care. We're going to move on to his property by 2 feet.
Trying to think how we do this by if we go. How do we do this by ground act? And just trying to make sure that.
Oh, we were there.
Yeah, do we go over there?
We
and
just
come
we,
back
we
here.
Just,
okay,
okay,
time
meeting,
out. Time out.
You do a field thing and adjourn the meeting.
You can do that, or the fact is that we can just adjourn the meeting and two board members are allowed to go over and look at anything we want to, because that's not a violation of ground act. So we don't have a ground act problem.
Okay. We just can't make a decision.
We can't make a decision over there, but
we could give our suggestions to staff.
We can discuss it as two board members with our staff, just like we would if we went to Veolia and talked about something over there.
Staff makes a decision.
So anyway, let's table that until we can take a look at the conditions, because I think it's going to be so much easier when we can all visualize it.
Correct.
Without trying to visualize it.
Okay.
No fault. We'll go. I don't think it would have mattered how colored and beautiful the map was. I still think we need to see the conditions. So let's move on to well 4A pipe replacement.
Pipe replacement. We replaced that pipe. We had Kirby pump come out. There was a section of pipe that was bad. I do have some pictures of
how
the
long
inside.
Was it?
Huh?
How far?
It was a 5-foot section of pipe. Inside, one of the pictures shows you the inside of the pipe and how it's corroded on the inside. And the other picture shows you how much metal is left of it. And then the last picture shows you the new piece that we put in.
It's relatively new, isn't it? To be corroded like that?
It's not relevant. I mean, it's 20 years old.
A new part? Early 90s. Early 90s.
New part?
Early 90s, well, 4A.
Oh, we built the plant around the existing plant.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about when we put the new 4A.
Do they have powder protection in their well?
They're not on the well. Not on the well.
Because this soil is powdered to hell out here.
Yeah.
I can't put any metal in the ground.
Yeah.
This is above ground.
We have powder protection at the new well. It's a standard, the sacrifice.
But you could add it. I mean, you can add it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what kind of discussion are we looking for here?
Just
information?
Just an information.
Okay. So, it's been replaced.
What? How far? Life expectancy? How much more life did we get out of that?
Out of the new pipe?
Yeah.
It's just one section out of five other pieces that need to go in.
Right.
The last picture I had on there.
Yeah, the new
We've replaced one section. We've got five more sections to replace.
Well, we're going to replace them now because they're still in good shape. The reason we replaced
it's this up here.
Yeah, you know, just that blue?
Yeah, the blue's a piece that got replaced.
But at that
point, we were going down.
Underneath there had a huge rust bud underneath the pipe in the bottom, and we were afraid in the next couple of months when we get heavy use, it might start breaking. If we do, then we're...
We are going to do a well for a rehab,
yeah,
which includes the pump.
The pump and the well, essentially. Well, the pump actually we'd like to just reuse if there's something wrong.
Didn't we review that last meeting?
Yeah.
What we're doing is delaying that project into a low peak or low period.
Yeah,
well, at that point, we'll do an evaluation of the existing pipes above ground and see what
exactly.
Kind of shape they're in.
Exactly. Okay. That's where we're coming
from. Okay. Yeah. Diffuser update.
We're having so much success with drawings. I thought I'd bring a drawing.
The color works.
We have to add all these to the additional material.
Okay. The confuser update.
All right, so before I start talking about the confuser, what's that?
What do you want? Another map? Can I get? Is there a map left over?
Is there another
map
left there?
Over?
Yeah.
Can I get one back?
You're
Thank
done?
You. I'm good. Thank
good?
You. All right. Go.
So I wanted to just show us a picture of what we've been talking about, just so people get it in their head what we're talking about. Okay. So this is Old River, and this is right south of Contra Costa Water District's intake. About 150 feet south of that. We pump wastewater from the treatment plant all the way to here. And what we're showing here on the left is the pipe comes in at the top. We connect to that pipe, and it comes over the top, down the berm, into the river. The river is here with the water on the right. So the berm's on the left, the river's on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom of the river, buried in the mud, is polyethylene pipe with these little nozzles that come out the top. Okay, so there's 36 nozzles.
Right.
Pipe size starts out at 18 inches, next down to 10 inches, and then next down to 6 inches. Okay. This was the design by Flow Science way back when the regional board directed us to stop discharging to the canal next to the wastewater treatment plant and take it directly to Old River. Okay. So this is what got built. This is what is in the ground right now when we talk about the diffuser. Okay, we have a draft report here now from Advisian, Worley Parsons, who analyzed the diffuser. And we, in addition to analyzing the diffuser, we went out and did more testing. So we did a diver. We had a diver go in the water. And he went and looked at every single diffuser port underwater, took video of it, and wrote a report. And then we also took a camera, and we ran a camera down the inside of the diffuser, as far as we could go to see what we could see on the inside of the diffuser. Bill's jumping straight to cost, isn't he? So anyway, the long and short of it is, several of the ports are damaged, and the diffuser, after about halfway down the 10-inch section, is completely plugged full of silt and stuff, not usable for the district right now. As a result of that, we have less pumping capacity at our waste effluent pump station right now. So originally the plant was designed that the filters would flow 4 MGD and the effluent UV would flow 4 MGD and the effluent pump station would flow 4 MGD, and that would be the back half of the treatment plant to go. Right now they came out and tested and the effluent pump station would only flow about 3 MGD, 3.1 MGD. Okay? It's working now, but it wasn't what we designed it to do, and it won't work for your build out at this flow.
If your build out gets to 3.1.
Yeah, if your build out as your build out comes along. Remember, that's max flow, that's peak hour flow.
Yeah.
That's peak hour flow. Okay, remember, in the heyday, we used to hit an hourly peak of 3 all the time. We used to hit it all the time. It's just happened down recently. Okay, so at any rate, I'd be very, very nervous if it was back to those flows, but at least at this point in time, it's not Panicsville, but we have a diminished capacity in our disposal system. So Worley Parsons analyzed all that data, concurred that, yep, we got a problem with the diffuser. They did some pump testing to determine what our capacity is right now. It's dropped from 4.3 to 3.1. And then they came up with some options. Okay, so on page, everyone wants to know cost, page 9 are basically three options that they're talking about. So option 1 is to just rebuild exactly what you have now. That is, we asked them for that option. You know, what do we do now? We're working on your question, Kevin, which you brought up last meeting, which was, if we spend money on this, how do we know we're not going to be here again? How do we know that whatever we do is not going to be here again? But we want it as a baseline, you know, what's option 1, which is just rebuild what we did again. It's extremely difficult. The polyethylene pipe is welded, so there's not like this pipe fittings we can take off. It's all hot welded, so it's one big giant piece of pipe is what it comes down to. Option 2 is to remove it and replace it, but instead of putting 36 diffuser ports on, they want to put 4 or 5 larger ports on. That'll be a lot easier to maintain, not so easy to do damage.
So they'll be more durable because they're larger?
Right, yeah. And also a little easier to not, less likely to get plugged since it's not so tiny. And we wouldn't have this little 6-inch piece of pipe. We just have an 18-inch piece of pipe. But you still bury it under the mud. And then option 3 is to set it on top of the mud and then hold it down with a concrete weighted system that you'd hold it down.
How does that work with the concrete shifting of the silt and mud within?
Right, so that's a very good question. If you go back to page 8, this is a curve of the mean velocity at Old River at this location. And this is in feet per second. So you can see that 1% of the time, or 5% of the time, your velocity exceeds, it's minus because it's going south, but it exceeds 5 feet per second. So there's quite a bit of scouring that can occur in this river. So whatever system we adopt has got to account for the scouring. And their first recommendation is bury it deep enough that it doesn't scour, or you got to re-weight it down. You got to really block it down. They have this, it's called an articulated mat. They use concrete blocks and then steel in between them and kind of lays on top of it and holds it down. This is a draft report because I said, look, we got CIP coming. We got to have some rough ideas of things we're talking about. This is not final. I have several questions about this report, things that I want to talk over with them. But most importantly, I want to point out, this is the range of costs that they've come up with. The other thing is, these costs do not include design, construction, management, I'll say the engineering costs. They have a separate line item above on page 9, about $120,000 for what I'll say is design costs, construction management costs, that type of thing. So, you know, generically speaking, you're realistically, you're into $425,000, something like that, as a ballpark cost at the moment, based upon, you know, the range of options that we've talked about so far. We have talked about can we repair it, but we haven't figured out an easy way to do that. The other thing that is not clearly identified in the draft report right now is there's significant permit differences between the options. So, for instance, if we were to change from 36 ports, if we change from the 36-port design to the 4 or 5-port design, I agree that that would probably be easier to maintain for us and less likely to plug, but it also is a variation of our NPDES permit. So we would actually have to get approval under our current NPDES permit to do that.
But you're going to renew that?
This summer. Yeah, we're going to start the renewal on that this summer. So option 2 and 3 require an NPDES permit renewal. Option 1 and 2 and 3 all require a fish and game permit because we're going in an Army Corps permit because we're going into the Old River and doing maintenance in there. Some of them have more than others. So option 3 is the least amount of river disturbance because we're going to lay it on top. All you do is just kind of scrape it a little bit, lay it right on top. Option 1 and 2 require dredging. Okay. And then not discussed in this report is the fact that we have to discharge at this location 24/7 right now. If we can't discharge at this location, we have to get permission from the regional board specifically to say we have to discharge somewhere else.
On a temporary basis, we may have to bulk discharge at the same location just out of the pipe.
Or what would like to do is
put our puke in the ditch.
I
or
put
the ditch.
Yeah, I try to put it back in the ditch, and we say we don't have a choice. We have to do maintenance, and we can't do maintenance with the water going.
That's the backup plan. Yeah.
So there are significant permit coordination items on this, no matter what. And an Army Corps permit is at least a 6-month permit. It's at least a 6-month permit to get that.
How many other treatment systems discharge into the river?
So right now, Rec 800 discharges into the river just south of us.
Wastewater.
No.
Oh, how many what?
Wastewater treatment plants.
Throughout the region.
Everyone near San Joaquin River, Sacramento River,
right. So
all discharged.
Okay, where I'm going with that is, have we done a survey of what they're utilizing for their discharge, their design of their diffuser, whatever that is?
They don't have a diffuser.
I'm asking is, those have been permitted.
Right.
And if we can go find one that's easy to do, and it's already been permitted by another facility, and it will cause us less problem in the future, maybe we can just duplicate that in our permitting process.
We went through that process when we first built the plant, and the fact that we're so close to the Ford Bay and everything caused us some other issues, didn't it? This is what they're making us do.
In the regional board, so just the back story of how we got to here. The regional board came back and said, you guys are polluting the canal next to you, because we used to discharge in the canal.
Right.
Then the regional board says, that's bad, go in Old River. Now, at the same time, they're beating you up over copper. The one advantage that we got to go in Old River is we get dilution in Old River. We get dilution credit. So we can be a little dirtier going into Old River, right? And so we said, okay. Then they came back and said, well, there's all the requirements about how you get in the river, and you have to design your system this way. So Flow Science was hired to design this system. And that's what came up in that parade. Now, your point being is, if we're going to consider an alternate design, of course we would go see what are other people doing in the community. I know Rio Vista has this exact design. This is their exact diffuser that they have here. Rio Vista does. Other communities, I'm not sure. You know, Sac Regional doesn't even have a diffuser. It's just
they're also in
a much, much
higher flow.
Different location. You know, kind of what really hurts us and why we had so many ports is because we have oscillating flow around our discharge. So under high tide, flow will go backwards up Old River. And low tide, then it rips back and goes back down. The total net for the day is out. But during the time of day, you can get flow going back and forth. In fact, you can get flow going back and forth 3 or 4 times. So it makes it for a complicated analysis of dilution, which is the purpose of the diffuser.
Which way is that?
Clifton Court Bay.
That's the outlet.
That's the pumps.
Okay, so it's not the tide, it's the pumps. Okay.
Well, it's the pumps and the tide. Both those guys work together.
The tide can go the opposite direction.
Well it goes
the tide
up and
down.
But
predominantly it would go. The tide would go towards the bridge.
Yeah, but then under high tide, it all backs up.
It all comes back this way. Right. And then at the same time, the pumps are sucking water.
Pumps are sucking water that way. Right. So we get flow back and forth. So it was a complicated analysis. Now, the question answered me, if we were going to consider an alternate design, the answer is yes. We would go look at what other communities have done under that scenario, as well as you know what's the more reasonably maintained. Because I basically said, we're not changing. We need to change to something that we can maintain in the future, and we're not here again.
Correct. That's why I was asking, because there's silt buildup somewhere else that somebody else has solved the problem or whatever. Who knows?
Right.
Different concept, different idea.
Right. So Worthy Parsons, the engineer that signed this, is a marine engineer. So you know, their experience is.
So how can we have an option? How can we have an option 3 with the vague description of new design? How does that?
They describe it in more detail in the text.
So the new design they're talking about is not taking into consideration completely different alternatives.
It's 4 to 5 parts. So they have a description. Page 6 is a more detailed description of each option. I'm just jumping generically to you, you know, for now, just so we see a ballpark.
Correct.
The other thing that we haven't really identified is it possible to repair, quote unquote, what we have? Maybe, you know, we go in.
I think we can repair it, and 10 years from now, we'll be right back there. We'll be here again.
Right.
Well, could you repair it where it goes from 16 to 10, put a blind flanger, because you still got to use it unless they allow us to go to the river behind us, and upsize that pipe to a different size pipe.
But we have to lift it out to do it.
That section, that section.
Well,
we run that and
join it back.
So to join it back, so it's probably, so we talked about, can we just cut the back half of this off and move on? It's plastic pipe and it's buried 3 feet in the mud. So we have to dredge, and then there's rock placed on top of it. That's how it is now. So it's buried 3 feet in the mud, and there's rock placed on top of it. And then we had these little ports that stick up through the mud. Okay. If it's all plastic, we'll hot weld together now. If we cut it, okay, we can cut it easy enough so you could dredge down, cut it,
pull the rest of it
out. But then reattaching something to it underwater is not the simplest scenario that we've been trying to figure out. So they haven't addressed a repair. What a trooper. They just didn't have an idea, like, how would we actually do something that's going to make sense here. So we're still thinking about that. But at the moment, you know, this is our draft report. These are the range of things that they've talked about. I've asked them to talk about, you know, can we somehow blow it out, maybe, or something?
So is most of the damage in the 10 and 6 foot area?
Yes. The 10 inch and 6
10 inch and 6 inch area?
Yeah. So it's the back third. The last third of this thing is we're losing the last third. So if you think about it, we've lost a third of our capacity out of the diffusion.
Well, and the reason that they scaled and went down from 18 inch to 10 is to keep the pressure the same.
Yeah, to keep the pressure and the velocities up. So we didn't want to necessarily settle. As you get out to the end of the pipe, we didn't want to settle. But what's happened is we've lost some of these ports. Are just gone. They're just missing. So instead of a port, there's a 2-inch hole.
And then
water can shoot up, or worse yet, when we turn off the pump station and we divert, we're not sending flow out, water, mud, and piss up and go right back down to 2-inch hole, too. So we
don't even know how much of this area is clogged completely.
We do. It's about halfway down to 10 inch, the rest of the way is just.
That's nothing. That's useless. No, there's no flow there at all.
Yeah.
Two questions. One is a decision we make on design, et cetera, will that have any bearing on the D-Night? That we have to do.
This is just like a different issue.
No bearing to even think about. And then secondarily, who would do the engineering on this?
Well, Worley Parsons. You need a marine engineer. I mean, you need someone that's versed in outfall diffusers and the 5 foot per second crosswind.
So you would need an engineering and then a separate construction manager?
Well, yeah, I mean, we would do the construction management or whatever, but at any rate, there's still engineering involved during construction, and so you have to hire the contractor. You know, kind of like we did here. You know, we hired the contractor, you got to manage him while he manages and builds stuff, review shop drawings, that kind of stuff. You know.
Now, could we ask Dutra Construction, which is a major dredging, and they do underground construction in the rivers and the oceans and stuff like that, to maybe see if they can cut that or repair that for so what it might cost to repair is another option?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, it doesn't hurt to get information.
Well, let me ask you another option. Would the water board allow us just to abandon the 2/3 of our pipe? We just cut it and blocked it.
You have an easement with the State Lands Commission. Right. That's where you got. That's how you got here. So originally, you didn't have the right to go to the river. You went and signed a long term. One time fee, we got it.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, you have a link. So let's put it this way. If you didn't tell them, I don't think they would know and no one would care, right? But if you told them, they might say, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, you've had 36, you've got to keep 36.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the real thing is, if we modify the shape of the diffuser, we have to go to the regional board. They may not care. They won't care, but what it would mean is we'd have to do a new dilution study, a new engineering study to demonstrate the new diffuser.
Because you're not.
Well, isn't our water going to be cleaner?
So
once we get to
the issue is
dilution wouldn't be an issue.
Not as an issue, but dilution helps us for stuff that we don't clean. Because dilution helps us for stuff like salinity. So I remember only until recently we got one hit on our salinity. But up until now, but for a long time, we were getting hit on salinity every year, then it went away. It went away because we were getting dilution credits. We don't clean salinity in the treatment plant. Same thing with copper, some of these other ones. We didn't put those in the treatment plant. But actually, the dominating force on the diffuser is temperature. So Old River is cold in the winter. Our wastewater is relatively warm. And they have said that putting hot water into a cold river can create a barrier to fish migration. And so the issue is you actually have to diffuse the warm water in there without creating like a barrier in the water. And so there's all these requirements on mixing and where the temperature goes. And
temperature can never be 20 degrees difference.
I thought it was 5 degrees. Or
that's 20.
20 now.
And it's 20 for a total bulk. And then the other one is you can't raise the surface water temperature more than 5 degrees. And then there's this whole band. There's this whole band. You can't make 24%. You know, 25% has got to be free. And there's all these rules around it. It's temperature is what got us to here with this design. It was temperature.
If temperature is an item and you're going out, let's call this room the river's going this way, whatever, and you're going out that way, I could see it creating a barrier.
Yeah.
But if you turn that, you went out at a 90 degree and went with it, there's no barrier.
That's what we do.
They did that. So they modeled that when they had several options. That was one of them. They modeled going down river instead of across the river. So we only go across halfway across the river, by the way. We don't go all the way across. This is only halfway out. So
right.
Just where we end right now is halfway across. So technically we say, look, the whole right-hand side here. It turns out that it was better to go this way than down the river.
Okay.
Just the way they modeled it. They did model that. Okay. Now, the other thing is, that was done a long time ago. That modeling was done a long time ago. The regional board's attitude about dilution. All right, a lot of things have changed. We may very well be able to go back to the regional board. I don't know. I mean, I haven't called them.
That's kind of crapshoot.
Yeah.
I think another thing.
But I will say this: they won't change their mind without an engineering study showing whatever it is they want shown.
Right. Another thing, though, once we get permit Title 22, you know, dilution factor might go away. I don't know if it will or not. But
what would it hurt
if you call them and say, we've got a problem, we're working on a solution, but we don't want to go too far down the road and then find out that for whatever reason, you know, you guys aren't liking it.
Yeah.
Here's a couple concepts we're thinking about doing, and we're going to have Title 22 water, and we're aware of the, got any advice?
Yeah, I can do that. It's not a big deal. Just, like I said, it doesn't hurt to ask them.
Yeah.
But this is sort of where we're at now.
Right. We got a $400,000 to $500,000 problem.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out how, if we're going to spend that kind of money, we don't want to be back here 10 years from now trying to solve the same problem.
Right.
Not to throw a wrinkle at anything, but you know, as the board moves further or talking about purple pipe and using the Title 22 water as irrigation water, then you got less flow going to the river. Does that go into account also? You know,
less flow is better for a region water quality standpoint.
So that would be part of the proposal too. So hey, our plan in the next 12, 15 years or whatever is to bring purple pipe back for landscaping at the golf course, landscaping in general population parks and that type of thing.
But then we have to do it.
Well, you and I won't be around.
That's true. But wait, one of the other Bronx.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
One of our other Bronx.
That was Virgil speaking.
Is the salinity is the biggest issue of recycled water, as it generally burns the plants and the roots.
We're at a pretty high salinity.
We're about our limit, 2100, and we're right around 2100.
Always.
You guys have a double whammy because there are drought, there are salinity tolerant plants, but you're high boron also. So your high boron, high salinity, like a lot.
Okay.
So those are the two things that make it where you got to be really selective about what you can grow.
So we've got an idea. Of a $450,000 estimate, we're only talking the variance between the three options is only $40,000.
Yeah.
So at least we know what some budget numbers are.
Yeah, we budgeted $200,000.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
that'll get us the research done.
Well, it just depends what it needs to be done.
So
let's talk about when it needs to be done. It's a good question.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was designed to carry 4.3 MDG. Mm-hmm. We only carry 3.1 now. As long as our flows are right here, you're fine. You know, technically under our state land use commission permit, we were supposed to maintain our diffuser, or we were sitting there, you know, with our permit to the state lands, but that no one's going to care about that. Now, as flows go up, you're not going to be fine. You know, and so is it burning down the house right now? What's our flow burning once a week?
1.2, 1.3.
We used to flow 1.8, but remember, it's peak hour flow. It's not your average flow. So we're peaking like 2 right now.
Yeah, we peak about 1.6.
1.6. So we used to run 1.8. We peak as high as 2.83. Okay. So then we're like right on the edge of what the diffuser can handle. anything. And then if we didn't, we'd back up in the treatment plant, flow it back up to the UV, that'd be a big problem. We're not there yet. We were back in the day, we were. All the greatest flows are down. We're not there right now. But we know that it won't handle it when it comes back up. That's what it comes down to.
We don't know that it's going to come back up.
When can we afford
it? We're not exactly sure why it went down.
So we budgeted that $200,000 in 1920.
We've been looking for a leak for a long time.
It's going to be the 450.
I make a suggestion to the committee that maybe we just try to see what the cost might be to repair that.
All the other CIP projects.
Because you have a flanged unit, 18 to 10 inch flanged unit there, reducer. Take that flanged unit off, put a blind flange there that allow you to operate temporarily. Take that other piece, that plug, remove it, and either rebuild it to the same size, at least get a cost estimate for what that might be. It may last us another, you put this in 2004.
Well, if it did that would buy us 5 years before.
Well, it bought us 10 before we found we had the problem.
But the problem may be in the way the diffusers are attached and that type of thing. We may be able to upgrade some of that with some technology that maybe even just replacing that last third with some different.
So the wires that are missing, they were designed to break away before you rip the pipe apart. So if someone hooked it, someone hooked it with an anchor and just started tugging, they were designed to eventually just break off. So the other thing in the report is some of the other duct bills are also showing signs of distress. They're still there, but they're saying they're showing signs of cracking and things like that. So those duct bills have been since 2004, right? So 14 years?
Yeah.
All right, so they've been in 14 years. So we have a big plugged up section, and we're showing where on the remaining sections. That's where we sit.
All
right now, that's where we're at. We definitely need something a little more, I think. But we could talk to Dutra, but this is very difficult to estimate because you're talking about an underwater diver going down, digging out the mud, pulling the rock off. We don't know how much is left. Then going down underwater, magically finding that bolted connection that was done on dry land before it all floated in there, and undoing that and then pulling that off, and then getting it out of the water, then how do we fix this? But that still won't repair the older duckbills on the top. So,
are we allowed to put any type of warning sign anywhere near the Delta by our equipment saying do not drop anchor?
Yeah, we have it. They anchor there because now they know where to go.
Yeah, they're the big sign.
People fish that spot.
Yeah, I know.
And you want to fish it because the water's warm and it brings up a lot of nutrient right there. And then fish Anyway, there is a sign that says, there's a big, giant sign, not small sign.
Okay. It's just straight up.
It's straight up and down. Do not anchor. It's a 6 foot high sign.
It's still not.
But at any rate, it isn't always, you can have an underwater tree float down there and whack something off. It isn't automatic, it's an anchor of a boat. I've seen people fishing this spot here, and stuff like that.
Okay, so
this is an update to you. What's important about it is, if we're going to be realistic on the CIP, we need to adjust the CIP number. This isn't our final answer as we begin to really how we're going to solve this problem. But this is the preliminary cost that people are putting out about how we might solve it.
Are you keeping it in 1920?
Am I keeping what in 1920?
The 200,000
project.
I'm not sure about that. Now that the cost is this much more,
okay.
Like I said, I don't think in 1 year our flows are all going to skyrocket back up, right? I think we have a little bit of time. But the diffuser is essentially filling up with sludge, and we can't ignore it because it could take us by surprise. But the fire isn't burning us down today.
So I'm asking if we should take our 1920 money to commence with the engineering and design in 1920 and schedule the build for 2021. Would that make our money work and give us enough money by spreading it over two fiscal years?
I think that's a good idea. I don't know if you need all $200,000 for engineering.
Well, no, but it would be a carryover.
Like that. But definitely, I think we should split it over 2 years. The other thing that goes on is there's an Army Corps permit process involved in this, and they have very specific windows of when you're allowed to do work. It's like, for instance, just by coincidence, the only time they let us build this damn thing was November. We waited an entire year.
October, November.
Yeah, we entire year, and they gave us 6 weeks to build. They said, nope, you can only build it this time. You know, so wherever that lands on a schedule. You know?
Right.
Well, you have to assume that would be the same time frame.
I would assume it deals with the fish.
Yeah.
The migration up and down.
Fish has priority.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Item four.
All right, so I just want
okay,
to
so the, so kind of what we're going to prepare.
We're going to continue working on the final of this report. It's not final yet. We're going to ask for some other options, some clarity on permits that are required, and some other things like that.
Yeah, I can see this being 6 foot on top.
And at the moment, we're going to push into the CIP what we're talking about, a more realistic cost estimate.
Right, and we'll work that with Dina and bring that to the board.
Right.
And I think our approach is going to be spread out over 2 years.
And then we'll do what Virgil says. We'll call Dutra and what do you think? You know, I mean, we'll investigate, but this is what we're coming up with so far.
I don't want to spend a lot of money on Dutra, though.
No, I want to look at it. I ask him to give us an estimate.
Okay.
You know, just like this drawing here. Hey, what do you think?
Okay. They're not near this anymore. Where'd they move to?
They wouldn't have to get in the water because we've already got the
I used to sell them copiers and they were in the
flow chart. All this stuff.
Item four.
Maybe to put it on tabletop.
Yeah. Thanks for sitting here, Justin. It's your honor.
No problem. So it looks like we're going to talk about the concept of a standalone production site for well number 8. So well number 8's been on the agenda before, looking at sites for well 8. And the plan is to, the whole idea of well 8 is it's a replacement for well 5A, which we've talked about a lot in previous meetings. So we've already decided that the need for well 8 is to replace well 5A. So it's a Newport well, essentially. And the last well we put in was also a Newport well. So after we put in well 8, there would be two new wells on Newport, and then the other existing well, which is 4A. So currently, Newport really only needs the two wells. It needs 4A and well 7 to get its maximum treatment capacity out of that plant. And 5A is essentially just the emergency standby well that we have. On paper, showing that we have enough well capacity to be able to meet our maximum daily flows if we have a well that's offline. But well 5A is very undesirable to use. It has a lot of issues with it. So the plan is to really get rid of it and have a real well that we would have as a backup. So that was always the plan for it. And so the site selection for well 8 would be something on the west side of town so that it can connect back to Newport. In terms of that concept, we thought about well 8 being potentially even something that could be sited on the Newport site if we can get it far enough from well 4A. And then there's a host of other sites that have been explored previously when we were looking at well 7. So that was kind of the starting point. A conversation came up among staff about whether the merits of well 8 being a standalone production site. And what we mean by that is if well 8 would host its own small treatment system on the site that would treat the manganese directly. So right now we have treatment plants for the removal of manganese that exists in the groundwater that exceed the secondary. It's a secondary contaminant, essentially, you know, results in taste and odor issues. So that's what the filters are for at the treatment plants, is to remove the iron and manganese. a standalone site. We now no longer need the filter at Willow. We may not even need the tank at Newport. So it was a concept that has been thrown around. I think that discussing it, and it sounds good, and we could do something on paper to even back, you know, to see if that's the case. But I think a little bit of an analysis would be required to look at those options. So right now, really where we're going is looking at Well 8 site, just as we always were, not changing the plan. It's going to be a Newport well. But considering possibly thinking of a site that's large enough to also be a standalone site, if we can do an analysis, if we can put together kind of the analysis that would be needed to show whether that's, you know, the smart decision to make. So the well projects themselves take like, you know, 2 years to complete, from finding the site, procuring the site, doing the analysis on the site, investigations for the hydrogeology, and drilling the well. And once your well is drilled and permitted, you then have to build a whole pump station to serve that well too. So they're really two separate projects. I think right now there wasn't any real decision that we were hoping to make in the committee, other than just kind of discussing this concept that we've been talking about and the reason why we've been talking about.
I'll think of a footprint that you have to have a standalone system like this.
It doesn't have to be very much bigger than a well site. It would have to be, let's compare our sites, I guess, in terms of like, well 2 would be probably much too small, if you know the fire station site. But say like the Well 1B Island, you know, that site that has Well 1B over on the island where your office is, that whole site itself would be more than enough
to
have a small filter.
To Well 8, what about, or Well, the number that's what?
Well
7? Well 7?
7 is too small.
Yeah, I mean 7 would be, it would be bigger than what's in the fenced area for sure, but it's like take the well and the pump station and then add on to that a filter and a backwash tank. It's really...
No, so going in, there's a double upside.
Yeah, a 20-foot diameter backwash tank and an 8-foot by 30-foot filter.
How far away from an existing well do you have to be in order to safely put in another well?
Yeah, so that would be something I don't have an answer on right now, but it would be something that we would look at when
right,
we replace the well.
Approximately.
So, well, I mean, approximately, you know, your existing well 7 is probably, what, how far away is well 7 from 4A, from Newport? It's probably 2,000.
I'd say about 1,500 feet.
1,500 feet, and we don't see any interaction between them. So we could probably get closer than that safely and not have any interaction.
All the sites will look at it further away than that.
Meaning you pump one well and you see a response in another well, you could design for that. So if there was an interaction between the two, you could still design for that by having the pump sufficiently deep.
Can we pump from that side? Can we pump water from that side of town to this treatment plant?
Yes.
Thought we could.
Oh, you mean directly from the wells? No, you cannot. You pump.
So why are we talking about Well 8 and Willow Lake in the same conversation? In the same conversation.
The merits of Well 8 as a standalone site.
No.
Is that it?
Part of the conversation. I'm missing something here. Earlier, you talked about the fact that Willow Lake would have to be expanded with its wash tank and another filter added if we put Well 8 in. Well, we don't have any way to get that water from Well 8 to Willow Lake anyway.
So here's the plan in the master plan. Is there's there was Well 7, which was put in.
Right. Which only
now,
serves that side of the Newport.
Now we have Well 8 as a replacement for 5A.
Right.
The other projects in the master plan, the growth projects, were the tank, a peaking tank at Newport and a filter at Willow.
And a backwash tank.
And filtering backwash tank at Willow. By making Well 8 a standalone production site, you eliminate both of those projects potentially. The tank at Newport and the filter and backwash tank.
You're actually building what you're going to do here in Newport and Willow at Well 8.
Right.
Just with the exception of a storage tank.
Just to clarify, you would need to chlorinate too, right?
So that
you need to chlorinate.
So
you still need a building, a small building to house.
Yeah,
cabinets.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways you could do a building. We do a lot of chlorination cabinets, essentially fiberglass sheds, you know, where you can have chlorine. They're not major chlorination dosages required for this. So it doesn't have to be a full-on building necessarily. We do a lot of outdoor.
okay, we're going to, it cost X amount to put the filter thing here, it cost X amount to put another peaking tank or whatever, et cetera, on that format now, in order to do a well aid standalone, bigger piece of property, pieces of equipment, et cetera, cost X amount. That
yeah.
could be
difficult.
Now we need the south site locations.
Correct.
Well, that yeah, accessibility.
Right, so if there, that's true. So looking at the site footprint would be the next step in the cost comparison between those options.
I'm still involved in this.
Well, it wouldn't
we
be
have pipes. They're all interconnected. So the pipe Newport, and like today, one site is lead and lag. One site runs more than the other, and it's pushing water all the way over to here, or vice versa. Pushing water.
So we are connected between these two.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? You can't bring raw water from the well.
Maybe that's
right.
Distribution wise.
Distribution wise, you can put it.
I think maybe that's where I'm getting confused.
Yeah, there's just an extra.
That's okay, Kevin.
But here's the deal. The deal is, though, what has to be factored in to that standalone. Now, if you're going to have to add all that stuff anyway, if you add it over there, you lose an office space. The only way to add it at Willow Lake is to eliminate the office.
We're going to look at that too, because I asked him to look into that footprint on whether, because there are two scenarios. One, we could do it. Can we do it because it's the smaller tank, and there may be a smaller tank we put in there. We just cut down on parking because we don't need the parking we used to have when there used to be the business meetings over there. And if that's the case and we can still use the building, we're good. Or it may be, you know, we abandon the building because it's not good for office use, but employees can go out of it. Or third, we need to get the whole dang building out of there. So I'm having him look at
that. Well, right. It's kind of like, where do you start the remodel of your house? You start in the bathroom, but you got to go all the way to the kitchen. So, I mean, somewhere we got to look at what, again, when we put new carpet in there, how many, couple, 3 years ago, we knew it was only going to be, it's not a great building. It's still holding up.
Yeah.
You know, we keep putting new air conditioners on it and new carpet in it, but, you know,
well,
are we going to continue to operate that triple wide?
Yeah.
Or are we going to relocate the offices?
Yeah.
And then that's a whole other issue.
It's actually not an ideal place for an office, too. It's at your treatment plant.
No, but I would love to, if we were had to move our office, I would love to leave that there for on-site workers or that kind of thing, because it's going to cost us money to get it out of there.
I see.
You know how it could cost us quite a bit of money to get it out of there.
Put the landscapers over there and then we build it.
If it wasn't the place, we're moving to the firehouse.
We're going to acquire the firehouse.
I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
there's options there.
Yeah, Mike, I can see that if it wasn't the place where customers had to come pay their bills, it
right?
Be more like a
Anyway, we're way off.
You finish with your thing. Because I'd like to add one more element to that.
Oh, well, it's fine. I was just going to restate it for clarification, but here you go.
For well aid, so just thinking of maybe an off-site thing.
Right.
So you would build a filter, chlorination,
backwash
tank, but no storage tank. That's what you do is continuously pump into the distribution system. You constantly have pumps running,
right.
And if the pressure's high, then the well would just shut down. And when the well's needed, it would come in and start. Another thing to think forward, the next 20 or 30 years, what happens if we have a major earthquake that shifts our earth plates, cuts off our aquifer? We have no water. I believe we'll have no water. And it's a possibility. 5 or 6 years ago, it happened in Napa. Napa had an earthquake that caused part of the town to fall in, if you remember some of the building. It caused now a stream that they never had for years come back to life. And so I'm a fear of that. And my thinking is, A, goes down by where the old River Elementary School is, have a starting point there, because if we lost something, we should tap in East Bay Mud Water, which are those pipes that are with resort, but you'd have to treat it before you put it in the distribution system.
And it could be treated in A.
Huh?
And under those consider that it could be treated in A.
Treated A, maybe the footprint.
It would be a totally different treatment.
Correct,
yeah.
It would be, but still, you'd have a beginnings of a place rather than nothing at all. Something to think about. Not to say let's do it, something to think about.
So that, I mean,
Well, now that's a location we've been scouted before. Is that far down? We were kind of looking at ones over here by Slifer Park or over in the wetlands. By
that would so you'd be close to the Newport without the treatment.
Yeah.
Now you need treatment. You're going to need a little bigger spot.
We would keep it at
okay.
This
point. So what do you want to do with this, Justin? What do you want to bring back to us?
Yeah, I liked the idea that Bill mentioned about coming back with just a comparison of costs so we can really flesh out why there's merits to this option.
Yeah, I think we need to get to the why in the road based
right.
on money and focus that one direction.
There's three things I see here. There's doing that, looking at the options of Welland as a standalone relative to the CIP as it's currently planned is option A, and then Well 8 as a standalone is option B, and comparing those two options conceptually, and that's why there's merits to it, okay? That's just looking at the cost for those two different options. I think the second thing would be looking at the site plan concept at Willow with regard to the filter and the backwash tank to see if there really is an issue with the filter and the backwash tank at Willow. See if we can fit those facilities there. And then I think the third thing would be to look for the potential sites that would be that are available that would be able to fit Well 8 either as option A to Newport or option B as a standalone site and see if there's even sites out there that are big enough and if the cost of those sites would just rule this out potentially as the merits. So looking at sites, looking at potential sites for Well 8 as a Newport or Well 8 as a standalone, looking at the cost between these options that I'm discussing here, Well 8 as Newport or Well 8 as a standalone, and then looking at the Willow site with regard to whether the filter and the backwash tank means that the offices have to be moved or if there's a way to fit both there. So that's part of the whole conversation, I think, with this option. I don't want to slow down the effort in terms of looking for Well 8 sites. So right now I'm thinking that the sites are kind of important to be at least looking at. It'd be nice to be able to discuss, at a meeting, like these are the potential sites that are out there that, just as a starting point. So we can look at the footprints of each site.
I think Virgil's point has merit. And we've got a worst case scenario. The earth changes.
Yeah.
We need to do something. So there should be a site looked at in that location down there.
But I think you want to remember, if you built a standalone, but if you built a site, you have to bring raw water. Raw water you can't put in the distribution system. You have to bring it to a treatment facility.
Right.
So the further away you are from Newport, it costs you more money because that's a separate big...
Unless it's a standalone.
That's correct. If you built it at the end of the standalone, you just tie it into the existing distribution system.
Ideally, where you get the most flexibility is if Well 8 had both options. If it was close enough to Newport to be able to pipe the water to it, and then also if it was big enough to have its own facility.
Well, we'll find.
And then we decide, because then Well 8 would still have the potential to become a backup in case one of the wells at Newport fails or something like that.
We'll go on the hunt.
Future discussion items.
Yes, I don't have
it. I do. I think that at some point we need to, we kind of go to this. We made a commitment to this O&M manual for wastewater, but I think that the next thing on the horizon we need to really look at is accurate mapping of our water system.
OGIS.
For our water pipes and find out. I mean, it's obvious from our discussion on the first island that we don't know where everything is in this town.
I thought y'all had a water map.
We have a model that shows pipe sizes and what streets they're on. And we have a map that shows where valves are and hydrants.
That is based on what the information we have given now.
Yeah.
On the track map.
Yeah, this went back to the water model that was put together, I think, in the first master plan in 2000, and then we've updated it
started with that map.
That's it. Yeah,
that's the same.
It's the same map. Yeah. We don't have any more than that.
Alright.
So that's everybody has the information we have.
Is it?
But what I'm thinking is that.
Is it
here's Galen? We're all gone. Nobody's gonna know where everything is.
That's why we're gonna extract Virgil's brain and put it in the GPS system.
You're gonna freeze it with the.
So Veolia has a GIS system that's water and sewer.
Yeah.
As we find conflicts in information, Veolia updates that GIS system.
When we get it, yeah.
You know. And
does anybody besides Veolia know how to access that information, or does only Veolia access that information?
So I have.
Just to ask, but anybody can come down to the plant and look at it.
Yeah.
You have to come down to the wastewater plant.
Sure. It'll take a few months to get updated. So if I gave them today, if I found that pipe at Sandy Isles,
okay,
50 feet away from the main here, it takes them a few months to
update. Well, but it gets updated.
But yeah, departure, I can't look at an emergency right now in the middle of the night.
This is what I don't understand or know is that who owns it? We do, because we own everything. We own that whole plant. But it's either a matter of not being trained on that system to being able to access it or whatever, I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question on that. So
okay.
The issue is, yes, you own the information. A model was built for both sewer and water. It's hosted for Veolia's use on Veolia's servers in Milwaukee. They host all of their treatment plants on their servers, and they use that information as part of their daily work, and then they also update that information. It's a matter of who's hosting information and how easy is it for the layperson public to access that same information. So right now, Veolia can access the information fairly easily, but it's hosted on their internal servers to their company in the law. Right? Virgil is talking about, what if I want to get access to that? Because it's on their internal servers, Virgil, you have to be somehow connected to Veolia to do that. Right? Right? So the question is, and there's been some talk about it, does the town want their own hosting site to host the GIS system as well? Veolia's using it periodically as they update their model, but they're also using it for pipe verifications, like when they do pipe inspections.
That's what I'm concerned about. Maintenance,
videos,
what you find when you do that, where you got the information from.
Yeah.
Virgil told me it was there, or whatever, right?
So,
we found it, JW found it when they were digging for something else, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, where did that information come from? How accurate is it?
Yeah. Ideally, in the GIS system, it's a data system. It's not just a map. It's storing data. So when you go and you look at a main line, there's an operator who's using it, or a GIS person who's using it, not a water operator, but somebody who's getting the, you click on the main line, it pulls up, in a perfect world, it pulls up the original development map. It pulls up the CMS reports of all the maintenance and repairs. It pulls up where information came from. So it's not just a digital line, a blue line.
It's not a picture. It's not a picture.
Actually,
so,
data that shows you where that came from.
Thank you. So it's getting to be 5:30. Carol's on overtime. We're going to put that on a future agenda, and I think let's do a little demonstration if we can. I don't know if you can do it. An example here to show what kind of data it produces, about how we could translate that to our use in the future, to where we could have access on maybe, you know, a duplicate copy system or something
more,
we need to talk
more
about.
For the emergency situation, right. I think. So maybe give us an update on how Veolia treats other facilities from an emergency standpoint. Can the operator, you know, could we get in there on an emergency somehow? I don't know any of that.
And what happens to the data when our contract ends? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe give us an update on that.
Yeah.
Versus
yeah.
The,
I have two
I don't even see the pictures. But.
So two more
agenda items in this time. Master plan update RFP and timing, and permit renewal RFP and timing. So options.
Okay. Anything else?
No, Mr. Chairman.
George, are we...